Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, championship female boxer and soon-to-be MMA champion Clarissa Shields is going to join us. And we'll do the news as well. First, there's LifeLock. Cyber criminals are using COVID-19 to scam people who lost their job or reduced their hours by phishing emails and fake websites promising financial support while stealing their info. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and credit. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. So protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam for 25% off. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, you know, I love boxing, and we have a great boxer joining us now. Clarissa Shields, 2012-2016 Olympic gold medalist in women's middleweight division. Only boxer in history, male or female, to hold all four major world titles in boxing simultaneously in two weight classes and now training MMA. And I guess she's out and doing it in Albuquerque with John Jones and Holly Holm. Good to see you, Clarissa.
Hey, thank you.
I'm very interested in the combat sports because it was 10 minutes ago, they didn't even have, you know, they didn't allow MMA for females. Now every major card has a one, two, or three big female fights on it. Is that a smoke detector? You got a smoke detector going off in your house, Clarissa?
I know. I need to get it's here at the Jackson Academy dorm. I need to get a new battery in here.
Adam has thoughts about that.
In my former life, when I did a radio show, I would time them, and it was always between 28 and 33 seconds.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But yours hasn't gone off again. All right, anyway. So let's talk about it. How'd you get started in boxing?
I was influenced to box by my dad.
And most dads don't push their daughters to go into boxing. So
I wasn't pushed
or influenced.
Yeah, I was influenced by when I told my dad I wanted to box when I was 11. He told me no. He didn't want me to box. He told me I was too pretty actually to box and that boxing was for men. My dad told me when I was 11.
But he had a love of boxing or he boxed?
Yeah, my dad was like an underground street fighter. He fought in barns. Yards, basements. He fought for a lot of money also. He wasn't pro, but just doing it in like an underground type fighting type of deal.
Did so obviously I don't know what the current status is of women's professional boxing, but it seems like the money's on the MMA side of it. Is that accurate?
Yes, very accurate.
And there's a lot of big names in the MMA females now. Her seem like they're making more money than some of the fellas, which is great. And it's acceptable now. Dana White, you know, I don't know, a few years ago said women will never fight in the MMA. And now they're all over the place. But now we got the smoke detector. I'm going to try to time it now. So having all that experience with your hands, That probably takes the longest to develop. So you're probably at an advantage of that, but you have to learn the whole ground game now, right?
Yeah. I think on MMA, it's all about you being a complete fighter that you are best at being. You know, I've been learning that. I haven't been learning just like jiu-jitsu or just wrestling or just kickboxing. It's been like adding everything to my style that I have already, you know, to make it all kind of work together and see what I what I'm strong at and what I'm weak at, and just build on my weaknesses. So MMA is like apples and oranges to boxing, but boxing is one of the main important things that MMA fighters have a long time trying to learn. And the fact that I got 14 years in it is good for me. And that's going to play in my advantage, but also, too, it's going to play in my advantage of learning everything else.
So are you training with Holly Holm and John Jones?
Yeah, I'm actually about to go train with Michelle Watterson in just a few.
Oh, the karate hottie?
Yeah. She's a sweetheart, and she's tough to train with. About to go and get some training in with her. I've been here with Coach Wing, Coach Jackson, and Coach Tusa, and I've been working on everything. Honestly, I've been working on the jiu-jitsu, the Muay Thai, the kickboxing, the wrestling. I've just been working on everything and building up my strengths.
So they had a big heavyweight fight, Miocic and Ngannou, a couple of weekends ago, and then Ngannou won and seems to be the dominant heavyweight now. And so the big fight is they want to get John Bones Jones in there with him. And John Jones is, I don't know, the Michael Jordan of MMA, never lost. He has one loss on his record, but it was like through some sort of technicality, disqualification mm-hmm. or something. He's never been beaten. And he's always had the frame to carry the extra weight because he's super tall, angular guy. He just fought at like 205. But the thought is he's moving up to heavyweight. He's going to fight this Ngannou, who's an absolute beast. And so what's John? Have you seen John? Is he walking around at 235, 240? Like, is he bulked up?
He's bigger.
He's bigger.
He's bigger for sure. He's still agile. He's still fast and got his speed and his skill still. He picked up the weight the right way. He doesn't look too much different, but he definitely got the muscular build for sure.
I don't know. He basically just tweeted out after the fight, sort of show me the money. So the plan is he's going to get paid because that'll be really one of the first kind of, I think, super fights in the MMA. They've had huge fights and championship fights, and they've had maybe super fights, but this will be the biggest fight they ever had. Do you agree?
I mean, you can't overlook Amanda Nunes versus Chris Cyborg, even though it ended the way it ended. Yeah. That was a big super fight in the women's division. But when I think about the men, I don't think I can say that there's a fight that's been bigger in the men's MMA division than Francis and Johnny Bones.
Yeah. Dale, who do you think's going to – I mean, obviously you're rooting for Johnny Bones. Do you think he can pull it off?
Yeah, I think he can do anything. That dude's a great – you know, and I think that, people look at, his past and stuff like that. But as far as in training, as far as in the cage, I mean, like, the dude is a workaholic. He's smart. He teaches things. He learns things. I mean, he just never stops growing. So he's a complete fighter, and he just wants to win more. You know, you don't have many fighters who want to fight the best. You know, I think the fight would have been made quicker if Johnny Bones was to act like he was scared of Francis, then I think they would be pushing the fight more. But I think since Johnny Bones has always let it be known that he'll fight anybody and he'll prepare and he'll get ready and he'll win, I think that that's kind of scaring people a little bit. But he can do anything. He's a great to me. And I'm definitely cheering for him against whoever he fight against.
So your first fight, you're going to be doing a new MMA league, Professional Fighters League, and you're going to be coming into action. Yeah, then that'll be April 23rd on ESPN2 and ESPN. And what division, what weight are you going to fight at?
I'm going to fight at 155, and I won't be fighting April 23rd.
Oh, you won't? All right. No. Well, I guess that's when the league comes back.
My fight day will be announced separately. Like in a big announcement, but it's not the 23rd. That's when the PFL starts back up because they haven't really started back up since COVID.
So Nunez is the most dominant. Well, she's probably the most dominant fighter in UFC right now, male or female. She's dominating everybody, whereas the males tend, there's some dominant fighters, but they kind of trade back and forth. Nunez is Nunez, I think it is just unbeatable. Is she fight at one? What's she fight at?
145, 135.
Is that your ultimate goal, to get in with someone like that?
Yeah, the goal is to always fight the best. You know, I wouldn't be the champion that I am without having that mindset. You know, so right now, I got 3 years with the PFL, and I got some girls who I'm going to fight against in the PFL. Hopefully next year, I'm experienced enough and I've learned enough to where I can get in the PFL league tournament and fight for $1 million. And then once I become champion, I still got some more time with the PFL. I just want to keep progressing as a fighter, because I don't disrespect Amanda Nunes' skill. I think she's a great MMA fighter and everything. I just like to take everything serious. So, you know, I think in 3 years it'll be a serious conversation. But right now I tell people, like, I feel like it's premature, you know, to say like, oh, since you're great at boxing, you should just, are you calling out Amanda Nunes to an MMA match because you do MMA now? It's like, no, I'm going to fight the girls who are, I'm going to work my way up to that level. You know, I know that my boxing surpasses hers, but her jiu-jitsu and her Muay Thai surpasses me, you know, so I have to learn that stuff and work my way up there. So once, you know, up in 2.5 years, 3 years, when people bring it up again, and I'm, you know, possibly, I believe I'll be a MMA champion, that I'll be able to, it'll be a serious conversation and like a serious battle of who will win the fight between her and I.
You've fought, obviously, the Olympics multiple times. What countries are strong in female boxing? Besides us.
Russia. Kazakhstan. Canada got a pretty strong boxing team. And China.
Oh, really? China.
Yeah. For the women's side, the UK women, I mean, they had Katie Taylor, who's from Ireland, but they weren't, and Nicola Adams was from the UK, but they didn't have any girls, who was in my weight class that was super dominant from the UK.
So how's the transition going? I mean, you've been doing the hands the entire time. I mean, your entire beginning part of your career. And I guess that's just second nature now, but is the MMA hands different? I mean, do you work on the hands at all as it pertains to the MMA, or you just work Muay Thai and wrestling and grappling and all that?
I work all of it together. So I learn certain things for, you know, Muay Thai, kickboxing, and wrestling. I learn that stuff, but I also add it to my boxing. And it is different because it's a whole different stance. You can't have a boxing stance and try to kick somebody. Or go for a takedown, or even sprawl from a takedown. Someone trying to get a takedown on you. And also, too, just being on the back and stuff. So I still work on my hands because it's a different kind of motion when it, like, comes to boxing. It's just way different, way different.
Well, it's good that you're around Holly Holm, because Holly Holm is the one who knocked out Ronda Rousey, if you guys aren't paying close attention. I think with a crazy head kick.
That's why I know her name, for us that aren't as ensconced as you are.
And she was like a championship boxer for many years, and that's where her bones were. And then she got into MMA and basically is doing I guess about the same trajectory. I mean, you're following in that trajectory, right, Clarissa?
Yeah, she's the only boxer to have any success on transitioning to MMA and actually become a champion. No other man has, like, no other fighter has done that. It's just Holly Holm. So she knows a lot. And I'm happy she comes from a boxing background, because me and her can kind of correlate with each other, and she can kind of pick my brain, I can pick her brain. And she gives me a lot of advice, you know, especially getting ready for my MMA debut, and just training with her and working with her. It's cool. It's very good for me.
Well, Clarissa, I'm going to have an epileptic seizure from your smoke detector, so I'm going to cut this a little bit short, but I want to... Hey, oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Gina.
Real quick before we do that, Clarissa, I was introduced to you in such a different way from an episode of This American Life over a year ago. I don't even know if you remember it, if it comes to mind. They did a 25-year, because it was This American Life, the radio show, the podcast.
Oh, yeah. It was the Happy 25.
It was amazing. Yeah. And instead of, a 25-year retrospective, they checked in on people who were 25 going, through some sort of change or doing something with their life. And they had the most amazing story about you and buying your house and how that, that translated to, you and your family. And it was so beautiful. And that's how I got introduced to you. And I'm so glad I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how, just real quick, how is your family, supporting you emotionally right now? And are they in your corner?
Yeah. All my family is super supportive. They would prefer me to just box because they know like that's what I'm strong at. That's what I'm the best at. But it's strangely, it's my life and not theirs. So they just have to, be there to support me and help me and give me mental support. And other than that, they're all excited about the MMA debut. And some family want to come to the fight. Some people don't. Some people are kind of paranoid, like, we're scared of this or that. We don't want to see you get kicked. We don't want to see you get hurt. And I tell them, just like for me, up in boxing, you guys don't worry about me getting hit. You guys don't worry about me getting punched because I'm the one doing the punching. So in MMA, I'm going to be doing the punching. I'm going to be doing the kicking. I'm going to be doing the takedown. I'm going to be doing the choking. So I'm not going in there to play victim. I'm going in there to be victorious. So that's just the difference between being an athlete and being like, a family member who's just a regular person.
That's great.
The again, the fight, your fight's going to be somewhere in June, but we don't know the exact date and the exact opponent yet. But the PFL is returning to action. That's the league that'll be April 23rd on ESPN2 and ESPN. Thanks, Ms. Shields. I appreciate you for joining us. Sorry that smoke detector. I'm having post-traumatic stress disorder from it. But say hi to the Karate Hottie and Holly Holm and John Bones Jones in the next room, and have a good workout.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Clarissa Bye. Shields, everybody. All right. It's interesting that there's way more money in MMA now than there is in boxing, which is who would have thunk it?
What a world.
What a world. Solo stove, whether you're camping in the woods or hanging out in the backyard, there's nothing like a roaring fire. Oh, especially it's cool at night. And this solo stove is beautiful. Stainless steel construction. As someone who appreciates good engineering and good execution of great engineering, I love my solo stove. And lots of moments, lots of warmth, and no problems. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. So you get a little smoke and a ton of fire. No campfire smell on your clothes or hair. Nothing left but ultra-fine ash for easy cleanup. Portable and built to last. Easy to light with just a few bits of starter. Lifetime warranty for every purchase. It's Solo Stove, right, Dawson?
No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code Adam at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code Adam.
Yeah, that'll be interesting watching her fight. And the Bones-Jones fight will be pretty crazy, too. I have no idea. Are there any odds on that fight? It would be weird to see. Francis Ngannou is like, he doesn't look like a movie character. He looks like a comic book character, like, because movie characters, you can't get an actor to be that big or built the way he's built. You have to physically draw guys like that. He's the only guy who looks like that. But never sleep on Johnny Bones Jones. All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Hunter Biden is on the book tour, and he is pulling some skeletons from the past on many interviews and many quotes pulled from the book. For example, Hunter's revealed that his addiction to crack cocaine spun so out of control that he dug through the carpet to find anything that resembled crack. I have more, but here's a clip from his interview with CBS News reporter Tracy Smith talking about his lack of sleep and the lengths he would go to find crack.
You would wake up some mornings, I shouldn't even say some mornings because you slept for like 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And be looking for crack and just smoke whatever was there?
Yeah. I spent more time on my hands and knees picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine. I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone, anyone that you know, I'm sure, Tracy.
Mixed in.
I mean, I went one time for 13 days without sleeping and smoking crack and drinking vodka exclusively throughout that entire time.
Crazy. It's weird. It's, I mean, I wonder if that has to do, I don't know, who knows about addiction, but, you know, your mom.
Only you knew someone who was an expert.
Your mom dies in a crazy car accident when you're an infant, I guess. I don't know if he was in the car or it was his brother, Bo. I think there was a couple kids in the car with the car accident. It's got to be traumatizing. On the other hand, I don't know if it happens when you're 9 months old, it's probably not that traumatizing. It's probably much more traumatizing if it happens when you're five.
Yeah, and it affects one sibling and not the other. And, you know, that certainly happens. The other, there's many things in this book, but Biden also recounted how his father ditched the Secret Service and staged an intervention while he was binge drinking and smoking crack. Meanwhile, Hunter also reveals his thoughts behind starting that relationship with his late brother's wife. He said he was at his lowest, she was at her neediest, and we just kind of clung together. He even touches on the relationship with the exotic dancer in Arkansas. And as for her, he has no recollection of getting her pregnant, which is why he later challenged it in court. He admits he was a mess. He says he takes full responsibility. The book is set for release today as you hear this. And I mean, timing wise, I don't know how dad feels about this, but, you know, he's what's done is done.
We're not doing this months ago.
Right.
Did he date Bo's ex-wife, or not ex-wife, but widowed wife, or did they marry?
I don't think they got married, but they were really reliant on each other. And I believe Hunter was married to somebody else, but they were really close. He said he would sleep on the Murphy bed at her house and he would take her kids to school. And then when she got him to go to rehab, he asked her to come pick him up because he didn't trust himself to drive back alone. And then, you know, one thing led to another.
There was a whole story recently about her taking a gun out of his car and throwing it in a trash dumpster. Did you guys hear this one?
No.
So she takes a gun out of his car, I think out of his car, and doesn't trust him with the gun. This is
smart.
Bo's ex or widow.
Widow.
Throws it in a dumpster behind a supermarket. Then at some point, I think he says to the police, she took my gun and she hid it somewhere. Then they went back to go get the gun out of the dumpster, but the dumpster was gone. The gun was gone. The dumpster was still there. Then some guy who evidently goes through the dumpster found it and I think returned it to maybe the gun store. I don't know what this if the story is. And then the according to the gun store owner, the Secret Service showed up and wanted to get the records from the gun store, but the gun store guy wouldn't put them up. And that's the last, I think that's where the thing ended. So there's a weird gun story in there as well.
That story could have gone so much worse. Some you know, crazy person picks up a gun, goes on a shooting spree, and it's in his name. I mean, thank God somebody returned it to a gun store.
I don't know how they got the gun back, but the guy who found the gun did not shoot somebody with it, and he did not, like, sell it. I think he returned it. I don't know if you can find that story. You didn't hear the dumpster gun story?
No. He didn't talk about that in the interview.
No, he didn't get into that. All right.
No. But you know how we've talked about these before, and I generally don't include, as you guys know, a lot of, you know, book revelations and stuff for news, but he's the president's son. This is a pretty big deal, and I'm sure they'll be dropping more of these breadcrumbs because there's a book to sell, so I'm sure they'll all come out.
He's making the rounds.
Yes.
Then,
and he sounds like Joe.
He does sound like him. Yeah, I thought that too.
Wow, that was crazy.
Did they get into the laptop story? I think she got into it, but I don't think she pressed him on the laptop situation.
I was going to say, it certainly didn't make the supercut, which I'm not shocked at. So a big three cheers for Vladimir Putin. He has been voted Russia's sexiest man, according to a Russian survey. I'm sure it's all on the up and up. The poll, it was by a job board site, superjob.ru, surveyed 2,000 Russians and determined that the 68-year-old bachelor is the sexiest man in the country, with 18% of men voting for him, 17% of women. Coincidentally, this survey, which was conducted in person, so again, I'm sure, you know, just go with your heart, was published after Putin was granted permission by lawmakers to run for president until 2036. So everything's coming up Putin.
I'm trying to think. There's an MMA fighter who's a veteran, been doing it for a million years, and he's got a beard. But I don't know. I can't tell if guys are Russian or Croatian or whatever stand they're from these days. I'll try to figure that out. Do you find anything? Nunberger Madoff story?
I'm still reading it. It's good. There's a lot of stuff. So just give me a moment and I'll
continue. Nunberger Madoff?
Is it Nunberger Madoff?
No, it's God. I'll think of the guy's name. Anyway, he's the sexiest Russian if he's in fact Russian. But I don't know why I'm so attracted to this guy. He's not even like sort of traditionally handsome. I guess it kind of depends what you like. I don't know. He's just got a very rugged look. Not that most MMA guys, you know, look they don't look doughy, but this guy.
Is he Klitschko-y?
Yeah, he's got a little Klitschko, but with like a beard and kind of a bent nose. And
the
that's,
Amish beard?
No, he's got the full. Oh, he's okay. Got the full. I'll figure out the guy. I'll put Chris on it after he figures out this story.
So I'll just read you the short of it. So the U.S. Secret Service, they became involved in a bizarre incident on Thursday. Okay, Delaware police were concerned the gun, a .38 revolver, could be found and used in a crime that was dumped in a trash can behind a grocery store, then found to be missing. They said it was eventually found by a man searching the trash for recycling. The Secret Service reportedly approached the store where the gun was purchased, seeking to obtain all records of the transaction. The owner reportedly declined.
Oh, but we still don't know how they found out who found the gun, like how that got returned. Or it must have been returned, otherwise they wouldn't have known the guy. Well, I think the guy may have just went to the store or something like that. Those were the kindly bums that that used to inhabit my childhood.
Right, with a rucksack.
Yes.
A hobo, yeah.
Yeah. Is this are
a
you
top hat, a beat up top hat.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of Artur Beterbiev?
No. But he's good. Oh, just that, you know all you have to do, Max Zapata? Just go top 10 UFC heavyweights of the last 5 years. Something and he'll be on there, and he probably won't even be Russian, but I'll just tell you what I'm into aesthetically, what my jam is on a dude.
Sure. So Uber has been ordered to pay $1.1 million after an arbitrator ruled that the rideshare company's drivers discriminated against a blind woman and her guide dog more than a dozen separate times. Lisa Irving, she lives here in California, she said she was denied rides or verbally abused by drivers 14 times from 2016 to 2018. In one of her accounts, they tell her to get out of the car and try to force her out of the car. I don't know if it had something to do with the dog or not, but she was ordered $324,000 in damages and more than $800,000 in attorney's fees and court costs. Uber, of course, argued that it's not their responsibility. And, you know, this is an ADA issue, not theirs. But in 2016, Uber settled a lawsuit by the National Federation for the Blind to ensure that passengers with guide dogs are given equal access. So that's going to cost them another million.
Sorry, I was looking
for... You find your man?
Andre Arlovsky. Yeah, I don't even care where he's from, but you should see how good looking this guy is. Max Pat, I'll find a good shot of him. He's all man, but he's natural. He makes me feel like a natural woman. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a natural man. Like, he's got some chest hair. You know, he's not all waxed up and he's not all steroided and bloated up and everything. He's just got that dude. You know, the lumberjack.
He has a musk.
Yes, yes. You do not want that guy to get you in a guillotine. He's from he's Belarusian. Is that not Russian?
It is, yeah.
All right, he's Russian, right?
Yeah.
All right, find some hot shots of him because who's the hottest over there in Russia?
Putin.
Putin's got to fucking put his shirt back on and get off the fucking horse because Andre Arlovsky.
Belarus is a separate country from Russia.
Damn it. Is it close enough?
It borders Russia, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's fine.
Former Soviet territory, yeah.
All right. Mexico, Nicaragua, come on. One big guacamole bowl to this American, right?
You're just saying.
Just saying. Oh, yeah. You find some good pictures of this guy. It's like, oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, Gene, you're going to love him.
All right.
All right. I'm sorry. So they sued for $1.1 million.
Yeah, they have to give this blind lady and her dog $1.1 million because even though they said that, you know, either A, the drivers are vetted or B, this is not our problem. You can't scream a blind woman and her dog out of your car in the middle of traffic. I think that's going to get you in some trouble.
Yes, it is. I haven't had any bad experiences in an Uber. I've had
ever. Certainly not in the last year.
I've had the guys once in a while. The guys playing some weird music. My biggest beef is when they have like the passenger seat slid way back, and you're getting into the back. It's like, I know you want a good place for your JanSport, but how about you move the seat up? But no, I've had like interesting conversations, nice guys, gals, like not had any issues.
In my experience, one of them being in Kentucky when I was trying to get to the distillery for our show, and then a bunch of them in LA, they're very nice. They're always men, very nice, and just kind of out of it and kindly, and really don't know how to put their foot on the gas pedal. Just kind of meander.
100%, I agree with you. Nice, courteous for the most part, but. Slow and questionable decisions on the road.
Yeah.
So Utah, we talked about how they're trying to get that porn bill passed so that porn won't be shown on your phone, but they have other things going on. Biological fathers in Utah will be legally required to pay half of a woman's out-of-pocket pregnancy costs under a new law unique to the state that critics say don't do enough, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. The bill's sponsor has presented the measure as an effort to decrease the burden of pregnancy on women and increase responsibility for men who have children. And this is where, you know, how you talk about being intellectually honest. I think this is a good example because Republican Rep Brady Brammer said he decided to sponsor the measure because he had grown frustrated with the number of anti-abortion measures going through the legislature. He says, we want to help people and actually be pro-life in how we do it as opposed to be anti-abortion. One of the ways to help with that is to help the burden of the pregnancy. So I thought that was very intellectually honest of him. Okay, well, how can we actually help the person as opposed to just, you know, put our foot down?
Be prepared to get pregnant, Gina, when I show you some pictures of Andre Arlovsky.
He could probably get me pregnant from wherever he is. Let's see it. Oh, shit.
Oh, my.
That's a dude.
Yeah, he's
he makes me
a longshoreman.
Like,
yeah, there's yeah, gonna show some action shots of him. Come on, Max Pata. I want to see him in that octagon. This is more the, you know, the more the standard stuff. But he's got
the sexiest man.
He's got like just enough hair, just enough muscle, just enough beard.
He like makes me scared horny.
Yeah, that's
he
how I like
scares me
you.
Horny.
Best kind.
That's a dude, right?
He is all man.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Wow.
He's 30 and 21. Like he never stops having heavyweight fights.
Wow.
And he had this crazy thing where he had a fight with the guy who was, and I'll think of the guy's name, but Fedor, the unbeaten Russian guy, this bald guy named
Nurmagomedov,
named Fedor, as a crazy Emelianenko or something like that. And I was actually at the fight, and I think it was at Staples or something. And he's beating this unbeatable guy, Fedor. Fedor was this guy, like he was this Russian guy who, you know, he was a little doughy. He didn't, you know, he was old school. He was all like sort of Stallone lifting the wagon and boulders and running up the hill and stuff. Old guy, unbeaten. And he fights Andre, and Andre's taking it to him and beating him up. And everyone's like, this is crazy. Fedor's getting beat by Arlovsky. And he gets him in the corner, and Arlovsky jumps up to do like a flying knee, and Fedor punches him while he's in the air and knocks him out while he's in the air.
Wow. Ew, that's very Crouching Tiger, Hidden
Dragon.
Yes,
and he just goes down like a rag doll after opening a can of whoop-ass on Fedor, who is not the sexiest Russian, but... kind of looks a little like a bulked up Putin when you see Fedor. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So I don't know if this story is a few days old, but so worth it. An Italian mafia fugitive who'd been on the run from the authorities since 2014. Oh, yeah. You heard about this. Have finally been captured after police recognized him from his little YouTube cooking show. 53-year-old Mark Farron Claude Biart is believed to be a member of the notorious crime family in Europe, wanted for trafficking cocaine. In addition to his life of crime, he also enjoys Italian cuisine. And it's his love of cooking that eventually led Interpol right to his home in the Dominican Republic. And we have a couple pictures that'll show you how this happened. So police were tipped off to a YouTube cooking channel that he and his wife started, and he never shows his face. So he thought he'd be fine. But wait a second. Do you spot any unique tattoos?
Huge tattoo.
In full view of the camera, Interpol was able to trace him to the Dominican Republic, where he had apparently been living for 5 years and was just known as Mark and liked by his neighbors. He was arrested last week and extradited to Milan, where he's going to go on trial.
It's crazy that criminals used to have a disproportionate amount of tattoos compared to the general populace.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever you see those police shows, they're like birthmarks, scars, tattoos, anything we could identify. You'd think they would have caught on. You know what I mean? Like maybe these identifying things aren't great for our business.
You're saying criminals don't have a lot of forethought?
I'd like to think many of them were tatted up in high school when they were still psychology majors and things before they
committed to a life of crime.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, and I actually posed it to Mark Garagos, and he went, I never thought about that. But here's an interesting thought. They're doing in court. So I heard this story. I don't know if you guys heard this story, but there's a story. I brought it up on The Last Reasonable Doubt with Mark. It's a story about a couple of attorneys, young attorneys, male, female, females, white, males, black. and they work for law firms in the Manhattan area. And they're like 27, they're young, and they got busted during the whole Black Lives Matter things with Molotov cocktails and cop cars. And so they're being charged with trying to burn down, I think they got charged with trying to burn down a cop van or something. And there's a picture of the woman who's an attorney, who's 27, by the way. Like, this is a young, educated woman, like, hitting the streets. Have you guys heard this story?
No.
So there's a picture of her, and she's wearing, like, a kerchief, a bandana or something around her face, but her eyes are exposed, and she's sitting in a car, and she's holding the Molotov cocktail, which is bad. It's kind of bad business for her. But the thing that I was saying to Mark is, you know, there's 330 million people in the United States. This woman is sitting there with a kerchief like over 60% of her face. We can see her eyes and her hairline, and she's holding the Molotov cocktail. How come the argument is never, that bitch just looks like me? Like, that ain't me. I mean, it's crazy that we're so distinctive. Like, I don't want to seem like I'm high on mushrooms, but, you know, polar bears are polar bears, and koala bears are koala bears, and turtles are turtles, and you see dogs, and they have little different markings and stuff on them. Everyone is that fucking different that you could take just a picture of anybody, and you'd go, that's 100% that person, and it's not a legal argument to go, I admit that does look a lot like my client, but that's not her.
Yeah,
that's just somebody else.
Well, and don't they always say you can have as much plastic surgery as you want, but you really can't change someone's eyes? So maybe she should have just put on sunglasses.
It's kind of interesting that all these cases with and they're doing all the facial recognition stuff now, but it's just so weird.
Yeah,
that with so many different human beings, you go, oh no, that's definitely that person.
That's the person.
That's that's Mark. That's Tim. That's Bob. You know, that there she is.
Yeah.
You'd think that, you know, you think there'd be plausible deniability because there'd be three or four people wandering around out there that just looked exactly dead nuts like you, or you look like them, but it's not. Just this.
Yeah. I mean, if she was in Kansas, she'd have a little bit of a harder sell. But when I moved to New York, I look just like her. We all look just like her in New York.
A little too much like her, if you ask me.
So, yeah, it's a very good point. Well, speaking of getting your face in the camera and getting caught for it, cops in Memphis are looking for a Burger King customer who started shooting through a Burger King drive-thru window, but she had a really good reason. Police say the woman placed an order at the drive-thru and thought her fast food was taking too long to prepare. Pulled a gun from her car, leaned in, and we have the footage or the picture, and fired two shots through the window, sending workers running. A perfect screen grab of the woman basically looking in the security camera. So they know who they're looking for. She jumped in her car, drove away. Cops still haven't made an arrest, but they have the license plate. We have a very good look at her face.
I don't want to crap on my last point, but if Mayor Lori Lightfoot was anywhere near that Burger King, there's plausible deniability here.
Good thing it wasn't in Illinois.
Mm. Jesus Christ. Like, it's not shitty enough to work at a Burger King.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The fries were taking too long.
When I worked at McDonald's, it was punishment enough, like, just sitting on that griddle all day and working the toaster and everything. But now the notion that people could shoot at you through the fucking drive-thru window. And by the way, I was dying to get from the griddle to the drive-thru window. That was
careful.
I know. That was considered a huge advancement in my career.
Well, this is how idiocracy disgusting we are as a nation, because now, I think I've mentioned this before, there's like a whole sub, like YouTube, Twitter, Reddit genre of just people fighting fast food employees for no reason.
And also, as I always told you, and maybe this was like the first kernels of like comedic thoughts, you know, I was having these sort of like Seinfeld thoughts when I was 15 and 7 months or something. And when I got a job at the McDonald's in Studio City, which isn't there anymore, the first move was down to the basement for orientation tapes. You know, they'd pop the tape in
and watch the corporate video.
And it was down in the basement. There was a washer, dryer, and like a locker. and a sign that said "Get dressed before you punch in." Like, I was always kind of, I always thought that was dubious. Like, I'm here, why can't I punch in? Get in your uniform. Once you get dressed, you can come up and then you can clock in. But I had my time card and everything.
Didn't want to pay for those 7 minutes.
Right. And I was sitting down there watching the video. And the video was covering a lot of different subjects. But one of the subjects was if there's an armed or hostile takeover.
Oh, really?
What to do. Now, it wasn't that. It was a quainter time when it wasn't garden variety shootings. It was like somebody wants all the cash in the cash register.
Robbery.
Robbery. And
like Samuel L. Jackson in Coming to America at McDowell's.
Yes, at McDowell's. And I remember having these sort of comedic thoughts, which is, I'm getting $3.10 an hour. You think I'm going over the counter and yelling "not on my watch"? Like, if anything, I might yell, "Take me with you," like when the van sped away. Like, I was having these weird comedic thoughts as I was watching this training video, but they put it in there. Like, do not fight them. Do not attempt to do anything. I'm always surprised that $3.10, you could find anyone who's like, take a bullet for a filet of fish. I would literally just give them everything. But I would never have been affected because I was always behind the grill, behind the counter. So I
thank God.
I never made it up to the.
They will jump over the counter in these videos.
Oh, yeah. That's
happy to do that.
That's true. The only good part about working the grill versus working the cash register is at least you don't have your friends who are coming home from the beach during the summer recognizing you immediately. I could sort of hide behind the grill back there.
Speaking of training videos, this made the rounds a while ago. I think we may have even played it, but it's been a long time. This Wendy's corporate training video from back in the day in the 80s. It's worth seeing. I sent it. Kaylin, do you have it? It was a cisgendered white chick doing her best rap for the Wendy's employees.
Right.
Take a look at this.
My name is Karen, and I'm here to say...
Cold. Are you ready? Here we go. Soft drinks, lemonade, water, cold tea. It's up to you. It's up to me. Cold drinks come in 4 cups. Gotta know the size before you fill it up. Biggie, medium, small, kids meal. Keep it straight. It's a good deal. Use the scoop to fill with ice. Never use the cup. Take my advice. For soft drinks, fill the ice halfway. No matter the size, that's what I say. Tilt the cup and push against the lever. Keeps the foam down now. Isn't that clever? If there's still foam, let it settle down. Don't pour it off or your boss will frown. When you reach a quarter inch from the top, that's where you want to stop. If the customers say they want to stay, put the drink on the left-hand side of the tray. If the order's to go, put the lid on tight. Make sure it pops to do it right. Then hand that drink to the coordinator and tell the guest you'll see him later.
So that's the first half.
Wow.
What's that be?
I think we might have something new in Chris's next set.
Hey, Chris.
You learned something.
First off, every bit as good as any Paula Abdul song. Sonically, the exact same. The exact same in the background. That's why I hate Paula Abdul. Ugh, that is our worst era of music, that weird thumb, or the Jimmy Jam, is that the
Terry Lewis.
Sound?
That's right.
Ugh. You find that knockout?
Oh, yeah, we got it. Let me get it set up.
Arlowski, what a stud. What a dude.
So you want a guy, if you were to be with a gentleman, you want him to be even manlier, even more brutish, can take care of you.
Yeah, I don't want Sean Hayes.
Okay.
And I want Arlowski. I don't know. It's interesting. One, I think one of these days we should go full gay. Mm-hmm. And go, everyone always talks to women all the time. Like, what do you like in a man? And then you get all those stupid answers. I like a sense of humor. I like a caring man. Like, I like kind eyes. Once in a while, you'll get one to tell the truth and talk about some buns or some arms or something. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd actually be more telling to ask guys what they like in a dude.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that at some point. You guys think about that.
Well, first off, I'm not going to work personality. I don't even know if this guy speaks English.
I don't care if he does.
I'm just saying.
Who's he going to tell?
There's just There's just something about that guy I've always liked. All right. Oh, you got it, Max Pata?
I think we have to reload it.
All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? And it's hard work these days, keeping your head above water. How about you save a bunch of money when you get your bundle on with Geico? Geico makes it easy to get your homeowners, your renters insurance, and bundle it up and save so much. You already have so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could save at geico.com. That is geico.com. Oh, look at Fedor. Yeah,
the sound's not working, so we just have to...
And Orlowski, look at that man. He's beating up on Fedor.
Ooh.
He's kicking him. He's beating him. And he jumps up to throw a knee, and he gets knocked out in the air. But no one's ever looked hotter.
Yeah.
Being dropped onto his face than Orlowski. But it was a crazy big fight. And he literally just knocked him out cold. And I told the other guy it looked a little like Putin, right?
Yeah.
Well, Putin to him.
I know I should set my standards higher, but something I like about your guy is he doesn't look like a date rapist.
Right.
A lot of those guys look like real mean. I wouldn't want to date them. I wouldn't want to be alone in a room with them. He doesn't look like he's going to attack me.
Kind eyes. That's another thing that's on my list.
Yeah.
All right, Max, we'll do that. I would say, now look, I don't want to hear the descriptions of you and your dudes. I just want you to bring, I want every dude in here to bring in three examples of hot dudes.
Easy.
And
okay.
You want to run out to the car or you want to wait till tomorrow?
I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll give everyone a chance.
And we can factor in, look, the fact that this guy's a stud cage fighter, I factored it in. Like, he's a good-looking dude, but if he worked at a Kinko's, I probably wouldn't be as into it. The fact that he's had over 50 professional fights, it's a stud. So we can factor in, you know, the guy's a stand-up comedian or what
have
you.
From any era?
Yeah, wherever. Pick your...
Kalen, this is going to be uncomfortable.
That is funny. All right, let's do that. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, let's see. I want to thank Clarissa Shields for coming in with her smoke detector, but still fun and informative. And Nashville, I think, is sold out at Zany's, so screw that. But Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club, May 7th and 8th. We'll do live pods there. We'll do live stand-up there. Golden, Colorado, Buffalo Rose, June 18th and 19th. You can say hi over there. September 10th, Royal Oak in Michigan, doing stand-up there. Kansas City,
woo!
Harvest Bank Theater, September 11th. Take that, Fitz, dog. He's playing the Place Where Comedy Is Had Club. It's an old joke. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Clarissa and Gina and Bald saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Check out Gina Grad's podcast with Teresa Strasser. It's called Easy Listening, and it's available wherever you get podcasts. Bald Brian has a show called The Film Vault. You can check that out. And pick up my latest audiobook, Greenwich Killing Time by Kinky Friedman. Just search Mike Dawson on Audible. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get all things Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.
The 2020 presidential campaign in the United States was a pretty wild spectacle to watch, no matter what your political perspective may be. But there was one particular bit of rhetoric that jumped out at me. It was a criticism of Donald Trump leveled by Bernie Sanders that made use of a well-known historical tidbit. Here's what Sanders had to say.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs. The senator was riffing on one of the best-known stories from the history of ancient Rome. That is, that during a great fire that consumed the Roman capital in the year 64 AD, the self-absorbed Emperor Nero not only did nothing to help, but laughed and played the fiddle while his city burned. It's the kind of story that many people know, even if they know absolutely nothing else about Roman history. For a whole lot of people, the history of Rome is basically just Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, and Nero fiddled as Rome burned. So, in a way, it's not surprising that this story has proved so enduring. It's just too perfectly symbolic. If you need a historical example of the ruling elite being hopelessly and heartlessly out of touch, I mean, this is it. Nothing quite says, I could care less, like playing a jaunty little tune on the fiddle. But we really should ask, is any of this true? Did the Emperor of Rome really sit back and put on an impromptu hoedown as his city crumbled beneath his feet? Well, here's the thing. If he did, there was no way he played the fiddle. In 64 AD, the violin hadn't even been invented yet. The instrument as we know it today wouldn't come into being for another 1,400 years at least. To give you some historical context, Nero playing the fiddle is basically the same as Charlemagne shredding the electric guitar. In 64 AD, the violin was an impossibly futuristic instrument. But we do know that Nero was an amateur musician and was particularly fond of an instrument known as the lyre, which was a small Greek harp. He was known to put on long recitals for his advisors where attendance was mandatory. So the original story was that Nero actually played the lyre and sang as the great fire ravaged Rome. But there's good reason to doubt that story, too. The most trustworthy Roman sources inform us that the Emperor Nero wasn't even in Rome when the Great Fire broke out. In fact, we're told that the Emperor rushed back to the city as soon as he was informed so he could personally oversee the relief effort. So, Nero didn't fiddle as Rome burned, and he didn't play the lyre. He didn't sing. He didn't sit back all smug and laugh as his people suffered. He learned about the fire through messengers and did his best to respond. Now, that doesn't mean that Nero was somehow a good emperor or even a good guy. In fact, he was probably one of the worst. But the fiddle, well, that just wasn't a thing. Nero fiddling as Rome burned is a perfect example of what I call a historical myth, a little legend that got wrapped up in the transmission of our history and often gets repeated as a historical fact. My name's Sebastian Major, and on the podcast Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story that it simply must be told. The podcast is one part storytelling and one part historical detective work. I do my best to bring these weird stories from our past to life, while also asking probing questions about whether or not we should believe them, and how these misunderstandings took root in the first place. On Our Fake History, the goal is to celebrate everything that's weird and wonderful about the past while also thinking critically and trying to grab on to the slippery concept known as the truth. If Our Fake History sounds like it's for you, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.